And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Thanks for making us part of your Thursday. It's Thursday, right?
Tis.
Ben's got his Marlins hat on today.
We're winless.
Really?
0-7.
That's a rough start.
Well, the White Sox are 1-4, so my teams are, you know, it's a marathon.
In baseball, if you start out 0-7, what is the comparison in basketball? It's like 0-15.
Yeah, like 0-15.
Because the vast majority of baseball series, if they're four-game series, most of them split 2-2. Like, baseball is weird that way. Like, a 3-1 series is like a real win. You know, it's not like...
Oh, if you win every series, you're in... If you go 2-1 every series, you're in great shape.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're
for a
three to win 100
series,
games.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, as they say, every team wins 60 games, every team loses 60 games, and what do you do with the other 40? Well, their Marlins are on pace to maybe not get to 60.
Yeah, it's crazy how bad that is. It's the reason, like, a number one starter is so valuable. To have an automatic win in a series,
yep.
Like, there's a ton of value there.
Yep.
So, yeah, baseball's funny that way. 0-7.
Tim Anderson, my guy, who I have his jersey. It's the only jersey I own. Well, I own like an old Rasheed Wallace jersey. But my only baseball jersey I own went from the White Sox to the Marlins. So he went from a terrible team last year, got off a terrible team this year, and somehow went to a worse team. Life's good.
Good times.
Life is good.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Ben. Your team stink. I haven't looked at the baseball standings to start. Man, is that a long season.
Mets also stink. But the Mets do the thing that we talk about a lot, right? We were just talking about it in the other room. If you play in New York, you get this boost of expectation. You're supposed to be good.
Everybody thinks you're good.
You're a little bit overrated all the time.
You know what the Mets may prove? And actually, this random baseball conversation will kind of play into where we wanted to start today. But you know what the Mets, a theory of yours, which I love, that they're also proving, is the younger, you know, uberly rich owner who's super smart and successful, stepping in and buying the team and being excited mm-hmm. about the new toy, and then saying, "You get me a World Series baseball team. Spare no expense." The American League, the National League, if you've seen that Simpsons.
The nice thing is, in baseball, it's generally a little easier to retool. As long as you're willing to spend, you can kind of keep retooling. That's why the Yankees have never had to go down to the farm system all that hard. You know, you get your big players, you trade them.
Yankees don't win every year. I think I actually think that's not true about baseball. Because there's not a salary cap, so these clubs can spend whatever they want. And I spare me the email of, well, technically there is a salary cap if you look at the last. I got it. It's not a punitive one. That's the strongest players union in sports. That is something that that they will never cave to, mm-hmm. I would guess. And anywho, Boston, New York, the Dodgers.
Right.
They don't win every year, not even close. In fact, the Dodgers lost two in a row to the Diamondbacks, right? And then were bounced out last year. They spent, what did the Dodgers spend in the offseason? $1 billion in the offseason? With a B? $1 billion?
Yep.
They're far from guaranteed to win it.
Right, but they don't ever end up in a spot like the Phoenix Suns are about to in the year or two where they're so expensive and they can't get off anything. That just doesn't happen in baseball.
The Dodgers were terrible for a long time.
Yeah, did they get new ownership? Did they sell?
They did. Frank McCourt was a bozo.
And then they spent $1 trillion, and they've been relevant because they were saying, well, we'll just give Mookie Betts all the money, and we'll give Shohei all the money, and we'll just keep spending money to get top pitchers. And so, I mean, it's what the Yankees have done forever.
But
they're always relevant.
If you look at what the Astros did to become so dominant aside from cheating, I mean, that was farm system
stuff. They went all farm system, and then they got expensive. They went and got a couple of pitchers, plus their farm guys. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can go at it. I mean, the stupid book slash movie that you love, Money, but this is what it's all about,
yep.
is that you don't have to be the... And I would argue that the Yankees underperform given their payroll in baseball.
Of course. Because they don't win every year. And they have the highest payroll every year. They and the Dodgers. But you don't have to tank. You don't have to rebuild that way. You can be a seller at the trade deadline. You can go get a bunch of young pieces.
Tanking is a different conversation than you can just spend out the years and be dominant.
But you rarely end up in salary cap hell in baseball that you can't get out of.
There is no salary cap.
Right, exactly.
That's the point.
So you never have such an expensive team that you're in trouble.
Right. You don't have to pay the piper. There's no luxury tax or whatever. You just, if you're the Yankees and have your own TV network, essentially, and how many people live in New York at your beck and call? I mean, advertising in front of that many people, I mean, costs a fortune. Like, you're just printing money there. You could spend whatever. Do you think the Yankees, with their huge payroll, actually spend more than 50% of their revenue on players? I wonder. Now, the Dodgers, I would believe, do.
Of course, yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's a hard part with sport. It's the point of a salary cap, because in Salt Lake, they just can't generate the amount of money that other markets can, because there just aren't as many people here.
Right. And the joke about Moneyball is that it actually hasn't worked.
No, it does. It hasn't worked, actually. It didn't work.
They've had some runs. They've had some fun, young, cheap seasons. Their star players are overlooked in the Moneyball conversation, as you like to remind everybody that Miguel Tejada was a decent player.
Never even shown in the movie.
MVP.
MVP that year.
That year. Like three Cy Young Award winners to start the rotation.
Best pitching staff in the entire league.
So, you're
never
right.
Never even mentioned.
This idea that you can cheap it out and get there is difficult.
Well, all right. Speaking of the A's. No, actually, that season's success was about Scott Hatterberg and his ability to walk and get on base.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that Tim Hudson guy was, what was he doing? Ah, he was all right.
Don't ask about Tim.
Don't.
We don't bother
Tim. What about Bernard Zito? What about that guy? I think he went by Barry. Barry Zito. Well, who was the other one? Mark Mulder.
Don't ask about him.
Oh, he was average at best. Not part of the story.
Focus on Hatterberg.
No, focus on the broken down first baseman that didn't want to swing the bat.
The reliever with the submarine pitch.
That is our story. All right, speaking of the A's. Some would say bad news yesterday that the A's are going to play their... What did Moses spend 40 years in the desert? They're going to spend how many years in Sacramento? They're going to spend their purgatory years in Sacramento. And people, Salt Lake was a candidate for that, and going to go with Sacramento. Ben, your initial reaction, or is this bad news? What do you think?
Yes, I think it's bad news. I think it's bad news for a couple of reasons. One, there's an arms race going on in Salt Lake City for a hockey team first or a baseball team first. And proof of concept, I think, is a really big deal. Look at, was it Oklahoma City during Hurricane Katrina that hosted?
Yeah, the Hornets.
The Hornets.
Yeah.
And everyone said, oh, look, people show up. Oh, that's fun. They'll come up. Now the fans want it. They've got a taste of it. They can't let it go. And they've shown they're willing to do it. Now we just need to find an owner, which is one of the silliest things ever in sports history is to take a team out of Seattle and put it in Oklahoma City. Right? I mean, that doesn't make any sense, like taking a team from Vegas and putting it in Salt Lake. But it worked, and they got a taste of it. So I think that being there would have been a big boost for the Miller or the, what do they call it? The Larry H. Miller Group.
Uh-huh.
Would have been a big boost for them to have a baseball team playing locally, showing that fans want to survive here, want to be here, want to go out and support the team here. So when expansion hits, Salt Lake moves to the front of the list automatically. And I already think it's close to the top, if not the top. Number two, it's Nashville, the other one. But if you could show it, it helps. If you could see it, it helps.
Okay, I agree with all that, but it's not necessary.
It's not necessary. No, by no means. It's not necessary.
I don't think it's
a lot of
necessary.
Teams have done it without temporarily hosting a team moving.
Like, one of the great moves Major League Soccer has made over the past, I guess it would be 10 years, maybe 15. They blindly put a club in Atlanta. They're like, I have no idea how this is going to go. we don't know. The population is soccer popular in Atlanta? We're going to put a club in Atlanta. I would guess not much proof of concept. But it's the most popular club in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most popular ticket in town. Who knew? So, yeah, there are examples. And, yes, the Hornets, I guess, did prove concept in Oklahoma City. But it also helped that billionaire gas baron from Oklahoma City bought the team?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
I mean, that helps. So, and I wonder what happened first. Bennett bought the team before the Hornets had their stay, I would guess.
I'd have to go back and look.
I'd have to go back. I really do. I wonder what happened first. Because that would be a feather in the cap of that argument, the proof of concept argument, that Bennett saw how well it did and then went and bought the Sonics. But I don't know if that's the order of things that happened. Because I think Sonics fans were really sweating it when that happened, because they were like, oh, God, our owner, our new guy.
From 01 to 06, Starbucks chairman emeritus, former president CEO, Howard Schultz, owned the team. So it sounds like Bennett bought the team in 2006, and they moved in 2000 and, geez, when did they leave Seattle? 2008. So 2 years.
So, and Hurricane Katrina was in 2005? So it would have been 2006.
He
didn't own them yet?
Yeah.
Or was in process of buying them. So that's interesting. So I wonder if he thought, okay, well, this town can support this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think, Ben, this was my initial reaction. I easily could be wrong. But I don't think it's a bad thing not to be associated with the A's.
Okay, that's now, the other interesting part of it.
It might be a little risky, like bird in the hand, ball in the carpet kind of thing. But I found it very interesting when the kind of, well, when this subject where the A's were going to go first came up, and the subject about expansion with Major League Baseball and Salt Lake City, and as you brought it up, Nashville. Do you remember the Las Vegas reaction of that community was, wait a minute, Salt Lake's going to get an expansion team and we're going to get stuck with the A's? The worst team in sports? We're going to get stuck with that owner that is going out of Oakland like they're going out of Oakland and have been just dreadfully run and cheap and whatever. As to bring this up again, there's a book about it. How bad they are. We're getting stuck with that. We are building that franchise, a state-of-the-art ballpark where the Tropicana is going to be. Did you see that story yesterday? They're like looting the Tropicana. So the Tropicana is closing, and so they're getting rid of all their stuff, and it turned into like...
It's Florida.
Like pandemonium.
So Florida. Florida? Where's the Tropicana?
The Tropicana is in Las Vegas.
Oh, I'm thinking...
It's on the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard.
You're thinking Tropicana Field.
Yeah, Tropicana Field. We're talking baseball.
So they're building the stadium.
Oh, okay.
Keep up here, Ben. They're keep building the stadium where the Tropicana, the famous hotel on the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Tropicana, that's where the new Major League Baseball. And the Tropicana is getting rid of all their stuff, right? Fire sale, everything must go. It turned into like looting. It turned into people just stealing everything.
Well, when you talk about looting in Tropicana, I automatically assume Florida.
Vegas is on the other side of the country. Apparently, I've gotten quite windy because Ben is just completely tuned out.
No, I'm listening. Sorry. I'm also reading about John Fisher.
Their reaction was to say, why are we getting stuck with the A's?
Right.
We'd rather have an expansion franchise. Let them go to Salt Lake. Give them the A's. And we'd gladly take the expansion franchise. I think there would actually be a danger that that would happen. And the A's move to Salt Lake. We get stuck with the A's. And then Vegas gets an expansion franchise because, you know, they're getting a franchise regardless. But then it's that, do you want a team or not? Which is why Vegas took the A's in the first place.
It's better than nothing.
It's better than zero, right?
Is John Fisher still going to own the team in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Why would he own it here? Why would the Millers build this billion-dollar thing, a lot of it out of their own pocket.
Obviously, yeah, I don't know. No, that's a great point. I'm not sure.
So I don't think that would be in the cards here. But if it's happening in Vegas, I guess it's possible. And maybe he wants to hold on to a 51% and he will sell 49%.
I think it's the community that's paying for the
right
new stadium.
And we are here, too. Not exclusively.
Right.
But, you know, it is still, what, $900 plus million of taxpayer money that would go to building this entire area
on the
west
side. It's a different arrangement, though. Right. So, and so would we
get
the
A's? If you could shed John Fisher, take the A's. Take whatever.
Yeah, right. But I don't think you can.
But I don't think you can.
It's the same problem with the Coyotes, right? Isn't there something similar in there where that owner is not great?
Terrible. Yeah, really bad owner.
So, and Ryan Smith is the one invested in bringing the NHL here. You would have to iron that out, obviously.
And I would suspect Ryan doesn't want any part of that. No, I don't speak for Ryan, obviously. And maybe he said, hey, man, if I can take 60% and I can take a controlling interest and you're on the hook for 40% of my financial decisions, great. That's actually good. That's not a bad thing. A lot of people think that's what's going on right now in Minnesota with their sale and Lori and Alex Rodriguez now being on the hook for 40% of all the decisions that Glenn Taylor makes up there. And he says, great, it's fine with me. When I need money, we go on the cash call, you got to pay 40% because now you own part of this team. They may try and back out. We will see what happens there. But I would suspect both the Millers and both Ryan Smith would want to own their teams and make their own decisions and not just own the building or the property that those teams play in.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Cash call time. Hello, Alex.
Oh, Alex. I know you hate me.
Hello, Alex.
You're on the hook.
We need to raise funds. We need some cash on hand. I'm going to need you to
fork over.
Break out that checkbook.
So.
That's really funny.
And then my other question is, where is it easier to win? And this goes back to our beginning conversation of, you know, spending money on baseball teams and spending money on hockey teams. Like, you don't have to max out your salary cap necessarily to win in hockey, right? And salary caps in hockey are significantly lower than the payrolls in baseball. Most, I believe, NHL salaries are, I mean, the entire roster is under $90 million, and a lot of baseballs are pretty enormous. Several hundred. Or well over 100, I should say.
Well, yeah.
But then some are like 30. But the A's are like 30 million.
But baseball is more games, more fans. I mean, that's the magic of baseball. That's why baseball's still so reliant on the gate. It might be the most reliant on the gate out of any sport because you've got to sell more seats. I mean, how big is your hockey? I mean, they're NBA arenas, right? You're talking 18, 19,000
mm-hmm.
and you're 41 home games. So, baseball, you're doing, don't do math on the air, Ben, but what is it, 81 home games? And your average baseball stadium is 40,000 fans?
Yeah, something like that.
That's where all that dough comes from. That's why Deion Sanders, have you heard that legend? Where Deion Sanders, somebody asked him about his Lamborghini or something. He's like, oh, yeah, that's baseball money. Football money is nice, but you know what, that's... That's baseball money right there.
Average baseball roster is 130 million. The highest NHL team salary cap right now is the Toronto Maple Leafs. If I'm looking at this correctly, it's kind of hard to figure it out, is 97 million. So it's significantly cheaper.
So you mentioned the arms race here locally, and I get that, and it's easy to get caught up in that. But there is no way the Major League Baseball beats hockey here. I don't think that was ever possible. Major League Baseball as a league moves way slower. And hockey has been more aggressive in market change, expansion, all these things, because they're trying to raise their they've taken a different business model to climb the sports landscape. For example, baseball is seeded ground in the sports landscape. Hockey has certainly gained it considering where it was coming from, where it's a Canadian sport, basically, and that was it, right? It was popular around the Great Lakes and in the Northeast, and that was it. So hockey was always going to be the first to town if it were a possibility.
Yep. Because it expands, and baseball never expands. Baseball is well. That's the advantage for Salt Lake, is that baseball is so overdue for expanding.
Well, except for hockey has no shame whatsoever in moving franchises.
Right.
None. In fact, they took their legendary brands and moved them.
Yeah.
I wear my Hartford Whalers cap all the time, Ben. They're in Carolina now. I mean, the Avalanche were, what were they before? They were a legendary franchise somewhere. Minnesota, the Wild, or the Wild, that's the franchise now. The North Stars in Minnesota.
Yep.
Moved to Dallas? Huh? I mean, they haven't been scared about moving teams ever. So it's not just expansion, but it's moving teams.
In our lifetime, and I'll say in mine because I was born in 86, we've seen the San Jose Sharks. I'm going to try and do this off. I'm just reading through the Wikipedia page here, so excuse me. The San Jose Sharks jumped in. Then in 1993, the Ottawa Senators and Tampa Bay Lightning jumped in. Then in 93-94, the Florida Panthers and the Mighty Ducks jumped in. Then in 98-99, the Nashville Predators jumped in. In 2000, the Atlanta Thrashers jumped in. In 01, the Blue Jackets and the Minnesota Wild jumped in.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Now we've got the Vegas Golden Knights, and then we added Seattle. I mean, they've added 10 teams in my lifetime. Baseball's added two?
Four.
Four? The Rockies, the Marlins.
The Diamondbacks and the...
Yes.
And the Rays.
That's right.
Originally the Devil Rays.
Yeah. So baseball, by that sense, is pretty overdue for expansion.
Man, the Atlanta Thrashers moved to the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets moved to be the Coyotes. The Nordiques, that's what I was looking for. They became the Avalanche. Hmm. There was initially a hockey team called the Colorado Rockies. How about that?
Huh.
Became the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, okay.
They've tried hockey in Atlanta several times, apparently. The Atlanta Flames in 1972 became the Calgary Flames.
Do you think there would be any difficulty adding two more professional sports teams here locally?
Yes.
And getting the support?
Yes. Difficulty? Sure. Absolutely.
Do you think it'd be impossible?
No.
You think we could bring in two major franchises and have them both survive?
Listen, if the leagues individually choose Salt Lake City, it's because they're betting on our future, not the present.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely.
And
I
think we'd sell tickets to these things right away. I think sponsorships, I mean, I'm not saying sponsorships for the Jazz are a tough sell or that they're struggling or by any means, but I know the people over there selling those sponsorships and, you know, they're hustling to find every nickel that's not nailed down. It's not like this market is just swimming in dough, but we've got some expanding economic sectors. Ben, my wife's in the tech world. That is absolutely expanding.
Yep.
Population is expanding here. Not only people moving in from outside, but you know what? We have a lot of kids here.
We do.
And despite our reputation for funding, which is, I'm not trying to make an argument about that, but our education around here is pretty good. Our teachers are really good. Our universities are really good. We're pumping out highly effective, educated people, and this is a great place to live. And so, yeah, right now, if we got two new major league franchises right out of the gate, yeah, it'd be probably tough sledding for a few years. But, I mean, the idea is that they're betting on the future. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And get in now. There's a lot of room to expand. There's property that's available.
Well, that's Ryan Smith's whole thing.
Right.
That's like his whole, I don't know, Ben, ethos.
Yeah.
It's like, we're growing this thing, and I'm going to be in on the ground level, and sports is going to be a big part of it.
Yep.
And even right down to their proposal for public money for their project. Like, we're investing in downtown. We're investing in Salt Lake. We're investing here. We believe in the future. That's like his whole thing. I don't know if we'll ever make Utah cool because we've got a long way to go.
Sure.
But that's what he wants to do.
I'm glad it doesn't look like we have any John Fishers or Jerry Reinsdorfs running the show.
Oh man, the old guard of owners, there were a lot of interesting people because they had to take their money. You know, the Lakers sold the Jerry Buss basically because they had to. The league was in a position where it was struggling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Buss turned out to be good, but Donald Sterling turned out to be a disaster.
Yeah.
I think they bought the franchises around the same time. Pretty close.
Hmm.
But I mean, Al Davis turned out to be really good, then really bad, and now his kid is really bad. The old guard of owners is interesting. The new guard appears to be uberly wealthy people who want a plaything that's also an investment that cannot fail.
Yeah.
But like when Larry Miller bought the team, bought the Jazz, it could have easily failed. The NBA could have failed. The Jazz could have failed. I mean, Ryan, I don't think took much risk buying the Jazz. I mean, his risk came earlier in life, obviously, but the way the NBA is, the value of the Jazz ain't going down anytime soon.
Oh, I'm sure it's already up significantly from when he bought it.
Yep. All right, stay tuned. Top three stories. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Man, Jim Croce is so good.
How did he die?
Taken from us too soon.
Plane,
yes. Want to remind you to nominate the sports volunteer. He was 6'4", Ben.
Large man.
Nominate the volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at KSLSports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union.
Can I read really quickly, since we were just talking about it, the Larry H. Miller statement on the A's choosing Sacramento?
Yes, please.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
We want to express our gratitude to Major League Baseball and the Athletics for approaching the Larry H. Miller Company about potentially hosting the Athletics in our new ballpark in downtown Daybreak during their transitionary period. From the beginning, there were economic reasons tied to an existing television contract that favored the Athletics staying in Northern California. We wish the Athletics much success in their home state during the exciting time in their team history.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Our proven and ready ownership group and broad-based collection is fully committed to bringing MLB expansion team to the Power District at Salt Lake City's west side. We're grateful and encouraged that Utah has been viewed as a potential host and solution for the Athletics and will continue to demonstrate that we are the ideal MLB expansion market.
There you go. Okay. I think all that's true. I think it is an ideal expansion market for Major League Baseball. I think it's way better than Portland.
Agreed.
Nashville is a great town. And, you know, they probably don't hate doing an Eastern and a Western kind of thing, I would guess. But as far as, you know, other markets in the West, if this is indeed where they want to go, I think this is really, really good. And I think our community will embrace it. I saw somebody bellyaching on Twitter yesterday saying that the quoted the Bees attendance or something and said, "We're not... There's not a baseball community here," and was being all negative about it. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, minor league sports are minor league sports.
Yeah, I drive by a lot of little league baseball games. No one's there.
Yeah, it's a...
That's not what it's for.
It's not comparing apples to apples.
It's also not what it's for.
It's just not. Yeah, and
literally not what it's for. It's not for selling tickets.
Yeah. All right, anyway, not to get distracted. Sorry. Time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Where are we starting today, Sarah?
Number one, the Jazz dropped to 8th worst record in the NBA.
The Nets stunned the Pacers yesterday in a must-win game for the Pacers. There are a lot of teams that need to be winning games right now that are faltering down the stretch, which makes these last six games pretty interesting. But with it, the Jazz now sit alone at 29-47. The Nets are 30-47. I don't expect to see the Jazz win another game this season. But even if they did, they would pull into a tie with the Nets if the Nets were to lose out. And I don't see Brooklyn losing out because they still have games against both Detroit and the Toronto Raptors. The Toronto Raptors own the NBA's longest losing streak right now at 15 in a row because they need to finish with one of the 6th worst records to not send their pick to San Antonio. So the Jazz, essentially, long-winded way of saying, they control their own destiny to the 8th seed and having a 26% chance of moving up into the top 4 picks in the lottery.
All right.
That's what it was all for. You know, after they traded these guys at the trade deadline and they went really young and just threw everyone out there, It was, yes, about development. It's also about adding another top 10 pick that they obviously did not want to convey to Oklahoma City this year, and they'd rather kick that can down the road to next year or whenever. And they said, we want a pick, and we want to get as high a pick as possible. And lo and behold, they've done it.
That's what they wanted, given the circumstance. I actually do believe, and I think you said this, Ben, but you heard it over there in the building that Danny Ainge said, if I think we can win a playoff series, well, we'll go for it. If not, well, we're going to go a different direction. I actually believe that was true. And as well as the Jazz played at times this year, it was certainly not a no-brainer that they were going to win a playoff series. So they went the other direction. So given the circumstance, my point is I don't think they would have hated conveying it either.
No. They could have justified all of it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It was probably 51-49, which was a pretty near coin toss.
Why I believe him when he said, if I think we can win, sure. If not, you know, we're going to go a different direction. I think he actually meant that.
And the finger on the scale was, well, someone's offering a first-round pick for Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Agbaji, and someone's offering a near first-round pick for Simone Fontecchio, so might as well take
those. I'm
going
to go that direction. Yeah. But even that isn't, like, rich enough that if I thought we were competitive, you could pass that up.
Again, the Jazz have totally tanked the season. They were basically a 500 roster at the trade deadline. Here's the issue. Now even these bad teams that are going to make the play-in that are not great playoff teams. Golden State's 7 games above 500. The Lakers are 11 games above 500. The Jazz would have had to finish the season 7 games above 500 and more, because there's 6 games left, by the way. Golden State's going to clean up. They're probably going to end up 10 games above 500. The question is, would the Jazz have gotten to 10 games above 500 before the end of the year had they held on to Simone and Kelly Olynyk? And I honestly don't know if they would have.
No.
And then everyone
would
have
said they wouldn't have.
Then everyone would have said, like, well, you morons.
What was the point?
You're on the outside of the play-in tournament looking in, and you're losing your draft pick to Oklahoma City, and you're going to let Kelly Olynyk and Simone Fontecchio walk in the offseason, probably? Are you an idiot?
But if you would have thought that it was like Donovan's rookie year, where you could catch fire, be the hottest team in the league, play your way into the playoffs, win a playoff series, then I bet they would have done it.
I think so, too. Of course.
But I wouldn't have predicted that for this team.
I agree with you.
Because you remember, that was a ready-made playoff team that just lost its best scorer.
Right. Had won a playoff series the year before.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, found a perfect fit. Great.
Off to the races. Yeah. Totally different scenario.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they pulled the plug. And they're still trying to keep a stiff upper lip over there, you know, like, still something to come watch, which there is. It's NBA basketball, but they pulled the plug.
Yeah, they did.
All right, next.
Number 2, Great Osabor is expected to enter the transfer portal.
Again, not a death sentence for Utah State, meaning they could potentially get him back. You know, the transfer portal does not mean what it used to.
Yeah,
where
I'm glad you clarified, because I didn't know what death sentence meant there. You and your, like, violent analogies where it just goes death sentence.
It's like a war to me, Jake. No, so looking at, you know, guys who entered the transfer portal, you're testing the market. And if the best market is returning to Utah State, I wouldn't rule that out. I don't expect it for Great Osborne.
No, he's leaving.
But we see that. We see guys enter the transfer portal and come back. We will see where he ends up.
He's got no connection to Youngstown State. I mean, at very least, I mean, unless he's truly in love with Logan, and I'm sure he's fine there. But, I mean, he's been a mercenary. Why not go play somewhere he's comfortable? He could probably go to Seattle, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he was the Mountain West Player of the Year. He can go wherever he wants.
Yeah, he was, and was truly the best player in the conference. Not just, oh, he had the best accolades. He was the best player in the conference.
No, I'm sure he's got people banging down his door. If they really wanted to keep him, they'd find out who on staff he liked under Sprinkle and hired that guy. But they didn't do that.
Yeah. So we will see. It's going to be. I would be interested to learn how much these kids are making. But he'll get a hefty paycheck. He's a good player.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
And I don't like it that he's leaving. I don't like anything that's going on in college sports. And we'll get to the new committee proposal thing coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. You know, I want to see great play in Logan next year, but it was never going to happen.
Yeah. Had they kept Danny, maybe.
Maybe.
Probably.
But there's a chance. I mean, honestly.
But Danny was gone midseason.
Yeah, if you're the Mountain West Player of the Year, you can go play for Purdue. I mean, you can go play for, I don't know why I picked Purdue, but.
No, you're right. That's exactly right.
You can go play wherever you want. Kentucky would gladly take that player.
Yeah.
Duke would gladly. Yeah, wait, you're telling me I'm going to get a veteran that was the Big Sky Player of the Year and then the Mountain West Player of the Year and going to come in and be a force to be reckoned with right away? Yeah, yeah, I'll take that guy.
Yeah, how much do I – tell me what to right. pay.
So, I mean, I guess don't hate the player, hate the game. Yeah. I do. I think I wish that there was more of an attachment to programs, but it's not
– It's not cards.
It's not a thing, especially if you change coaches. So, but when you said death sentence, I mean, it's not a death sentence to the program. I mean, Utah State didn't return 1 point from the previous year, and they built a tournament team. So, I mean, I don't think that's a thing anymore.
But Jared Calhoun has his work cut out for him.
So does everybody else in the country.
So does Craig Smith.
Yeah.
So does Mark
Craig
Pope.
Smith have to replace his whole team, Mark Pope, and now he's got to beg everybody to stay. But he could be returning some players next year. But no, I mean, gone are the days of, well, I'm inheriting four and I have to recruit five. I mean, no, you got to recruit 15. Isn't that what's on college rosters now?
I think
or is
it's
still
12? 13, 12, yeah.
All right, what's next?
Number three, Caleb Williams makes an official visit to the Bears.
I wonder how he painted his fingernails.
Did he go with the...
Did he go with like Bears logo
blue
or
and
something?
Orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bears, B-E-A-R-S.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that would make an impression. But then again, okay, wait. Bear with me here. He doesn't want to go to the Bears. So maybe he put on his...
Vikings.
His fingernails.
Packers.
Like, don't,
maybe he did what he did with Utah.
Yeah.
Don't draft.
Not me.
On his fingernails.
Trade the pick.
I don't think he has that many fingers. That'd be a lot.
Yeah, he's too short.
Yeah, not quite there. You have to paint his toes and wear sandals or something. I would love, I mean, there's so many things in sports where you'd love to be on the, you know, to see how the sausage is made, right? I would love to sit in on this meeting and just see how it went. Because I truly believe Caleb doesn't want to play for the Bears. I wouldn't want to play for the Bears either if I were in his shoes. And you know what? I like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'd go play in Chicago in the winter. No, I'll pass. For weather reasons alone, let alone that they've never had a good quarterback in their franchise
history.
You
do get a chance to step in and be the second best quarterback immediately, day one?
Day one? Hard pass! I want to go somewhere else. And I mean, he's probably talking himself into the Commies, but I wouldn't want to go there either.
The nice thing is they have all these draft picks. They've got a number 9 overall pick as well. So he should get some help either on the offensive line or a wide receiver. And ideally, they can build around him.
We're talking about the Bears, right?
I know. Hey, trade last year was brilliant. They made a good decision last year. We'll see if they can make two in a row.
No, they didn't. They should have taken C.J. Stroud.
Okay, I mean... Fine, they got 10 draft picks for their number one pick and then got a second number one pick.
Yeah, but they still thought Justin Fields was good. Remember?
Well, they're getting
a quarterback
who's expected to be as good and is a better prospect than even C.J. Stroud was, obviously. He's going to go number one. C.J. Stroud went two. But Caleb Williams is a better prospect than C.J. Stroud. And then they got another top pick on top of it, or another first-round pick on top of it.
I'm not convinced Caleb Williams is going to be good.
Well, we have
especially
no idea, of course.
If he goes to the Bears.
If we knew C.J. Stroud was going to be this good, he would have been the number one pick, and yes, the Bears wouldn't have traded him.
But don't pretend like they made a great decision last year. They should have. The right decision would have been keeping the pick and taking C.J. Stroud, but they talked themselves into thinking Justin Fields was good. He's never been good. So I guess at very least they made the right kind of decision for the wrong reason?
They hedged their bets on Justin Fields, which paid off, because they ended up with the number one overall pick, good enough to replace him, with a better prospect than C.J. Stroud.
But they could have traded Justin Fields for...
a six-round pick, like they did already.
Not last year. Last year, they could have traded him for a...
I don't know about that.
Why did they keep him? Because they thought he was good. The league kind of thought he was good.
They wanted to see if they still had something in him.
That's why you trade these quarterbacks. That's why... I mean, you could make an argument that the Jets hung on to Zach Wilson way too long.
Of course they did. Yeah, they're not getting anything for him now.
They made a mistake keeping Justin Fields. That was a mistake. At very least, set the franchise back a year.
But they made a very good trade. The value they got for that pick is as good as you can get.
Stay tuned. We'll have more Jake and Ben coming up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Oh, and Three Dog Night. Sarah's on fire today.
Sarah's always on fire.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I saw them live once in Cedar City, Utah. I think I told you that story. Hey, Ben, how about this headline? The man who married a hologram in Japan can no longer communicate with his virtual wife. Apparently, the software that allowed the interaction is no longer supported.
You ever have an app that do this? You're like, oh, there it does this. They're like, yeah, we don't support the app anymore from the app store. So
oh, I'm going through it right now with my podcast app of choice.
Yeah.
Where it's no longer supported. Imagine being that's like your relationship, your spouse.
It's a pretty, unmessy divorce, which is nice. I unplugged her.
Just be brutal.
I deleted her off the phone. My
Maybe
hologram
it's a
wife.
Sign.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's a sign from the universe that, listen, dweeb.
I don't really feel bad for the guy per se.
Human.
You're kind of signing up for that, but it'd be a shock to the system, though.
Something's wrong. I tried to unplug her and plug her back in.
Can you imagine, talking to somebody about it? Be like, man, I'm lonely. What happened? God, they stopped supporting me.
What do you mean they stopped supporting your wife?
Be like
stop getting checks in the mail?
No, the software for the virtual.
The color got all weird first.
There was a green line.
It was lagging. She kept lagging. My wife's lagging on me. What are you talking about?
It's getting hard to have a conversation.
It's glitching. I don't know what you're talking about.
Did she turn blue?
My wife's in beta. I can't figure it out. They haven't worked out all the bugs yet.
And then they stopped supporting it. Yeah. So now
her iOS is down.
Alone and horribly depressed.
But they've got a different app I'm going to try. Different wife I'm going to try.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how she goes.
I'm sorry. That's terrible. The 50
no,
segment
having a hologram wife is terrible.
That is terrible.
Making fun of a guy with a hologram wife is just fine.
The 50 segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
What is a suitable hologram replacement? What would you be okay replacing in your life with a hologram? Like a family pet?
No
cleanup?
No.
Like there's nothing there, right?
But I don't want a pet anyway. Maybe like a house plant, because we're really bad
that's a good
at keeping
idea.
Really bad. Like my wife and I do not have green thumbs. That is not our thing. We are not good at keeping plants alive.
So things that don't require maintenance but have an appearance.
Yeah, okay.
I like that. So, yeah, houseplant might be the best answer.
Certainly not a spouse.
No. We like our significant partners.
The knickknacks that you don't want to dust on the shelf.
I don't want to dust anything ever, but you have to have shelves, right? Like, I have to have places to put things.
But yeah.
The plants go on the floor, and I kill everyone I own. So, yeah, good idea. Maybe that's our business. Maybe you and I can become trillionaires selling holographic plants.
I doubt it. I don't think we're the ones to do that now.
I mean, it's a trend right now to make knitted plants.
That's weird.
And people buy them because they don't want to kill them.
You crochet, Sarah?
I don't crochet. But it's a trend. So holographic plants could work.
My six-year-old's learned to knit.
Yeah. It's a good skill.
But knitted what now? Like knitted plants?
Yeah, they make like crocheted little plants so you don't kill them, but they still look cute.
The people who make those have too much free time. The people who buy them have too much disposable income.
As opposed to the holograph people.
I'm sure. No, same argument applies. Yeah, I don't like fun. I don't like happiness. Imagine what they charge for that knitted plant.
I haven't looked that much into it, but let them do their thing. Jake, don't
flag?
Be a hater.
You go back to your dating life and her whole house is knitted plants? Crochet plants?
No, I'm signing up for that because obviously she's got a lot of dough.
Yeah, she must. Or she has a lot of time. She has too much time and no friends because she has all this time to crochet.
Right.
It's one or the other.
All sorts of things you can read into that. Yeah, right.
Or she's a loser.
Well, then you look at what's the next.
Like, you look in her purse when she's in the bathroom.
Well, no, that's weird. But what kind of house are you walking into? Are you walking into like some basement apartment dungeon, or are you walking into like a an apartment on the top floor? You know what I mean?
Sure. If you're on the top floor and you have natural light, I want real plants or holograms at the very least.
Yeah, some.
But if you're living on the top floor and you've got crocheted plants, something's wrong.
You're crocheting plants because not enough natural light gets into your.
So if you're in the basement, maybe, but then I have to ask why you're living in the basement. And then we go back to the bathroom purse scenario.
How much time do you leave the basement? Like, how much time do you spend in the basement?
Why are you so pale? Put your arm next to mine. How much sunlight are you getting?
This is so dumb, but I've got a buddy who lived in a house. You know, there was a bunch of guys living in the same house, right? And one of the bedrooms had no windows. I mean, I don't think it was supposed to be a bedroom when they laid out the house or whatever, but he ended up no windows. It like severely affected his lifestyle. He had no idea like it was day or night or
isn't
like
that not up to code too. Aren't you like some states require there to be
windows,
a window?
Yeah. Probably. You know what? I know who can fix this. Our friends at Peach.
Yeah, they could have easily solved this problem. But yeah, and like, yeah, he had depression issues.
Should have crocheted some plants.
It was a real thing.
You know what he could have used? Holographic girlfriend. Solve all his problems.
All of them. Or like you say, just call Peach and get a window in there. But it's funny how that was a thing for him. All right, stay tuned. There's a new thing possibly happening in college sports.
It's a new way to ruin college sports.
We'll talk
we
about
figured
that
it out.
Next, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.